WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Maria McKinley.
And I'm Doug Storm. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, September 11th, 2017.
Included in these many stories were five previously unpublished stories. And those we found at the Lilly Library in Bloomington.
Five unpublished stories by Hoosier author Kurt Vonnegut will be released at the end of this month. We'll speak to Vonnegut's friend and co-editor of Complete Stories, Dan Wakefield, about the discovery of the stories in IU's Lilly Library.
Also coming up in the next half hour, student-athlete Levi Brock talks about his work with the Monroe County Humane Society. That's on Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. But first, these local headlines.
Monroe County commissioners are distributing more than $55,000 in grants to 10 local organizations for their work in drug treatment, prevention, and support services. The grants come through the Monroe County CARES Board, a coordinating council for the Governor's Commission for a Drug-Free Indiana. The awards are given in three categories: treatment, justice, and prevention. Commissioner Amanda Barge announced the recipients of the commissioners' September 6th meeting.
For the treatment category, we have Amethyst House, and they are receiving $4,426.82. They're both receiving the same amount for both the men's and the women's program. And under treatment also is Shalom, and they're receiving $8,750.68 for Crawford Homes program.
The CARES Board awarded more than $14,000 in the justice category. Local nonprofit New Leaf, New Life received the largest award at $4,600. The Ellettsville Police Department, Monroe County Community Corrections, and the county's Drug Treatment Court also received grants. In the prevention category, more than $17,000 were distributed to four organizations.
Under prevention, Big Brothers Big Sisters is receiving $3,811.56 for community-based one-to-one program. Rhinos Youth Center is receiving $7,208.82 for the youth center. Centerstone is receiving $3,142.96 for their peer-run recovery center. And Courage to Change is receiving $3,438.69.
County Attorney Jeff Cockrell says the grant money is sourced from court fees, not tax revenues.
These are not from county taxes or any source of funds. The source of funding is through the court system. The judges assess fees, and part of those fees go into this grant fund programming. So these are fees paid by offenders or through the court system. They are not part of the other tax base of the county.
Commissioners also approved contracts for recipients of the 2017 Sophia Travis Community Service Grant. Monroe County Council member Ryan Cobine said needs in the community have been outpacing the amount of grant money available.
From 2014, 2015, 2016, and 2017, we started out receiving about $185,000 in requests. In 2015, that went up to $245,000. Last year, $272,000, and this year we received a total of $320,000 in requests. The number of agencies making those requests has also grown in a similar fashion, from 21 to 31 and up to this year to 43 over the last 4 years as well. And the amount of money that we're able to award for the first 3 years was $110,000, and it increased only slightly to 2017, this year, to $115,000.
Commissioner Julie Thomas acknowledged the challenge the grant committee faced in having to deny so many requests for funding.
I will just say that it's a great day to dish out $160,000+ to really worthy causes in our community, but it's a drop in the ocean of need. So everyone, please keep all our local agencies in mind.
The next Monroe County Commissioners meeting is scheduled for this Wednesday, September 13th.
Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill is telling residents to take steps to protect themselves in the wake of the Equifax data breach. The breach is estimated to affect 143 million Americans nationwide, including an estimated 3.8 million Hoosiers. Equifax, one of the nation's largest credit reporting agencies, announced in a press release last Thursday a cyber breach compromised much of its consumers' personal information, such as names, addresses, birth dates, social security numbers, and even driver's license numbers. Indiana Attorney General Consumer Protection Division Director Betsy Eisenberg says the state is encouraging people to check to see if their information is compromised.
The breach itself shouldn't affect anyone's credit report or their credit rating. What individuals should be concerned about is monitoring their credit to make sure no one utilizes their personal identifying information.
The company discovered July 29th it had been hacked, more than a month before it disclosed the attack to consumers. That's according to media reports.
If an individual wants to know if they've been affected, Equifax has created a website where a person can put in their last name and the last six digits of their Social Security number so that they can learn whether or not their information has been affected by this breach.
For more information on the Equifax security breach and to request a credit freeze, Hoosiers can visit the Indiana Attorney General's website at www.in.gov.
The City of Bloomington Utilities will now keep water account balances that have gone unclaimed for over 7 years. Finance Director Efrat Pfefferman told the Utilities Service Board during last week's meeting that most of the unclaimed balances are under $10, but a few are over $100. Pfefferman says utility staff regularly call customers for forwarding addresses, but the department doesn't always get a hold of their customers.
If we have a forwarding address, we go ahead and do it. But the ones in question, many of them have come back undeliverable.
Mm-hmm.
So with a population where so many accounts are transient and change each year and leave town, there's just a lot of this type of activity.
State law already provides a process for the utilities department to reclaim overpayments on sewer accounts. In its September 5th meeting, the Utilities Service Board adopted a resolution allowing the department to do the same for unclaimed water account balances. Pfefferman said customers should check their account balances if they've moved.
I met him in 1963 when I was at Harvard on a Newt Niemann Fellowship in Germany.
And I would also encourage customers out there to be cognizant that it's worth calling us and checking. If you didn't leave us a forwarding address especially, we're happy to look you up and make sure that there's nothing sitting out there.
Board member Jim Sherman reminded members that the city's new modernized sanitation service begins on October 2nd. The city announced on September 1st that it will begin distributing the new trash and recycling carts this week. Customers will now find their trash charge on their utility bill. Pfefferman says city residents will see the new combined bill in November. This was Pfefferman's last board meeting. She will become the executive director at the United Way of Monroe County on September 18th. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Doug Storm.
And I'm Maria McKinley. Five previously unpublished Kurt Vonnegut short stories are being released after their discovery at the Indiana University Lilly Library. Vonnegut, arguably Indiana's most famous modern writer, died in November of 2007. Co-editor of The Complete Stories and one of Vonnegut's longtime friends, Dan Wakefield, spoke with WFHB News Director Wes Martin about the release of the stories.
I met him in 1963 when I was at Harvard on a Newt Niemann Fellowship in journalism, and he was living on Cape Cod, and a mutual friend in Cambridge, Mass, invited me to a dinner with Kurt and his wife, and I think four other people, and people later asked me, well, did you and Mr. Vonnegut talk about writing? And I said, no, we talked about Shortridge High School. He graduated from Shortridge in 1940, and I graduated in 1950. And we both were great fans of that high school, and Kurt always referred to it a lot in his writing. In fact, he said he got a better education at Shortridge High School than he did at the five universities he attended. Three of those he was sent to while he was in the Army to get training for something that he couldn't use in the infantry. Anyway, he has six children, counting three that he raised who were his sister's children after his sister died of cancer, and her husband died the next day in a train wreck, which was very tragic. He mainly made a living on writing short stories for a while in the 1950s, when the popular magazines like Collier's and the Saturday Evening Post, they came out weekly, and they had four or five stories in each issue. But that really starts to dry up in the late 1950s, or really the early 60s, when television started getting most of the advertising money. So he had to write other things, and he wrote a number of novels in that period that really didn't get great attention. And then he had a teaching time at University of Iowa, the Iowa Writers' Workshop, and he published a novel called Slaughterhouse-Five that became an international bestseller. There have been several books of short stories of his. It was just a few stories, and they weren't organized in a theme or anything. So this is the first time that all his stories that he wrote are in one book, so it's quite a large volume. Kurt Vonnegut, Complete Stories. And I co-edited with a professor at the University of Northern Iowa, who has been a Vonnegut scholar of his work for many years. So he and I devised a way of organizing stories into different like this: stories of war, stories of romance, stories of science, and then we wrote a brief introduction to each of those categories just so people would have an idea of what the thrust of them was. And included in these many stories were five previously unpublished stories. And those we found at the Lilly Library in Bloomington. The Lilly Library has the Kurt Vonnegut archive, so all of his work is there, and all of his stories are cataloged and in separate folders. And they even have ideas for stories that he hadn't finished, but we only included stories that he finished.
Are these largely from earlier in Mr. Vonnegut's career?
Not always. They were, sent around, and it's just like anybody sending out stories today. All of them are published. Some of them, I think, ahead of their time, maybe. And it's remarkable that only five that he wrote were not previously published. And I think after he stopped writing short stories and just devoted himself to novels, he didn't continue to send out the stories that hadn't been published. in 1963. And I think it'll be a real treat for people who, the many, many people who enjoy Vonnegut's work. And I also edited a book of his letters, and I really think from those letters, a person of great loyalty. He was especially loyal to writers and the cause of writers, and he was also very interested in keeping books from being banned, and he always spoke up for writers in other countries that were in political trouble. And Slaughterhouse-Five was there was a high school in Drake, North Dakota that not only banned the book or tried to, but they burned copies in the high school furnace. And he wrote a very eloquent letter to the chairman of the school board of that district and told him why, first of all, that before books should first be read before they're banned. And there was really nothing that would make this book a candidate for being banned or not being read by high school students. In fact, he's always been popular with high school students because a lot of his stories are imaginative and really sort of give people an understanding, a different way of viewing the world or viewing life.
That was co-editor of Complete Stories and longtime friend of Kurt Vonnegut's Dan Wakefield.
The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Support also comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
Now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring tales of inspiration from local citizens who stand up for what they believe in and encouraging you to find your cause, live your passion, make a difference, volunteer.
Hi, I'm Levi Brock, and I volunteer with Monroe County Humane Association. I'm studying biology here at IU and completing prerequisites to go to veterinary medical school after I graduate. I'm also an athlete here at IU, and I swim, and that takes up a huge chunk of my time, both during the school semesters and over the summer. So I needed experience in the veterinary field, and MCHA offered a schedule that worked with mine, just volunteering twice a week during their clinic. The MCHA clinic, it's a resource for those who don't have the means to go to a full-service clinic. As a person who loves my own pets, I think it's really important to be able to care for them. MCHA offers those people who are not as privileged as others, who don't have the wealth that other people do, to have companion animals and treat them properly. They educate the clients and provide resources, which is very important. So everyone should know how to take care of their pet. I mean, it's a big responsibility owning a pet, and if they need special care, the staff at MCHA really does a good job of educating their clients on how to take care of their pet within their means. As a volunteer, I can give certain vaccines. I assist the vet and vet techs in holding the animals. I can talk to clients, sort of figure out what they need so that the vet can quickly go in and do what she needs to do, because the clinic gets very busy sometimes. But really, it's just being attentive, being there, and being where help is needed. The staff is really good about letting me know where I need to be, if I'm in the right spot, and when I'm doing a good job. you get to see people, you know, who are struggling to take care of their animals, and that, and you feel like you make an impact because you can educate them on how to do it within their means. I love working with the staff at MCHA and seeing, like, you know, when someone comes in, they get what they need, they're grateful. It feels good helping someone, and I enjoy animals, I enjoy the medicine. It's just the perfect job for me. Thanks for listening. I am Levi Brock with Monroe County Humane Association.
You may visit the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network website to see a full organization profile at bloomington.in.gov/volunteer. Now here's a rundown of current volunteer opportunities in Bloomington and Monroe County.
For the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake with three featured volunteer opportunities for the week. Plan, participate, or promote a fun and fundraising walk, run, or biking event this fall. Upcoming events include the Buddy Walk, Walk MS, the Walk to End Alzheimer's, Hoosiers Outrun Cancer, and the Run for the Animals. Groups are welcome. View the latest listings of events on the Volunteer Network website. Or become a mentor to a strong, smart, and bold girl once a week during the after-school hours at Girls Inc. This opportunity is supported by both Girls Inc. and Big Brothers Big Sisters of South Central Indiana. And finally, get hands-on music industry experience with the Lotus Music and Arts Festival. Join the backline crew to gather, prepare, transport, and maintain backline gear and musical instruments between six stages before, during, and after this World Music Festival. Or join the teardown crew, where many hands are needed late Saturday night. And that's a look at just some of the ways you can connect to your community through volunteering. For WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to build an empowered, vibrant, and engaged community. You may visit bloomington.in.gov/volunteer to find and sign up for local volunteer opportunities. All episodes of Activate are available online at wfhb.org/news/activate. For Bloomington Community Radio, I'm Jennifer Brooks.
This has been the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Jonah Chester, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, our partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Wes Martin.
Activate is produced by Lucy Shake from the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer is Michael Glab. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, I'm Doug Storm.
And I'm Maria McKinley. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as all other WFHB news programs, online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@WFHB.org.
If you use iTunes, you can have this show delivered directly to you. Just go to the iTunes store, search for WFHB Daily Local News, and subscribe to our podcast.
Stay tuned for Kiteline, a program amplifying the voices of those within Indiana's prison system. Coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers.
Working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.